We'll get to your calls. We want to hear from you at 803-0550, but also want to talk a little bit about a cool book that is out there. If you're old enough to remember the USFL, you would be a fan of this new book called Football for a Buck: The Crazy Rise and Crazier Demise of the USFL. The author is Jeff Perlman, and he joins us right now on our AT&T hotline. Jeff, it's Howard and Jeremy. Good morning. How you doing?
It's good. I'm good. Thank you. It's 5:50 in California. That's
It is a bit early out there on the West Coast, so thanks for coming on with us early this morning. So, I mean, I remember the USFL, but do I remember a lot about the USFL? Not really. What stood out when you went back and researched the book and talked to all the people you talked about and tried to relive the USFL? What was the best thing it did? What stood out?
Oh, man. Well, among other things, especially for your city, it prepared Jim Kelly for the NFL.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the craziest things about the USFL is, you know, Jim Kelly was drafted by Buffalo in 83, and he didn't want to go to Buffalo. And he told the Bills, don't draft me. And they drafted him anyway. And Jim Kelly was in the Buffalo offices with his agent and ready to sign with the Bills, but really glum about it. And Bruce Allen, from the USFL, called the front office. He found out that Jim Kelly was there with his agent, called the front office, lied, and said he was a brother of his agent, and said got him on, and said there's a family emergency. Can you put him on the phone? Got him on the phone and said, listen, this is Bruce Allen from the USFL. We know Jim doesn't want to play in Buffalo. You know Jim doesn't want to play in Buffalo. We'll do whatever it takes. Just get out of there, and we'll make it worth your while. And they left. And a couple weeks later, Jim Kelly, they gave him the choice of wherever he wanted to play. He picked Houston. And I really mean this when I say this. It was a gift to the Bills that they didn't even realize, because he spent 2 years running the running shoot offense.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Running a really complicated offense, coming out of college, throwing to his little, you know, doing, he came out of college and he really was kind of Todd Blackledge. He would drop back and he would throw deep bombs, and that was it. He came to the USFL and he had to do three-step drops. He ran a really complex system. And when he came to Buffalo, he was he was closer to Dan Marino. Or, you know, to the elite quarterbacks than he certainly would have been had he just come in 83.
He goes on, obviously, to the Hall of Fame. Steve Young came through the USFL, goes on to the Hall of Fame. How many great players did they have in that league? Or were there a number of guys who went on to Hall of Fame or at least top-level NFL careers after the USFL?
They ended up producing about 200 NFL players. And they had four Hall of Famers out of the USFL. You had Jim Kelly, Steve Young, Reggie White, and Gary Zimmerman, the offensive lineman.
Okay.
They signed three straight Heisman Trophy winners out of college: Herschel Walker, Mike Rozier, Doug Flutie. Doug Williams, they took guys from the NFL too. Doug Williams, a quarterback for the Buccaneers, jumped to the USFL. Brian Slight for the Browns jumped to the USFL. They drafted a ton of guys who were going to be first-round picks in the NFL, stole them, and got them in the USFL. It was a really bountiful league. It really was.
You interviewed literally hundreds of people for this book, so I'm sure there are plenty of stories in there. Can you share one or two of your favorite stories about, can you believe this actually happened in the USFL?
Oh, yeah. My favorite story, kind of a money story from the book, is there was this guy named Greg Fields, and he played at Grambling. And in 1979, he was a rookie with the Colts. And in 1980, he was in camp with the Falcons, and he got cut by the Falcons, but he refused to leave the facility, so they actually had to get an armed security guard to get him out. He literally locked himself in his room and would not leave, but they got him out. So with that, his NFL career is done. But the USFL would take anybody, so he signs with the LA Express of the USFL. And in 1984, the head coach, John Hadle, decides he's going to cut Greg Fields. And he calls him into the office, and he starts telling, you know, I appreciate your time here, but, you know, we're going in a different direction. And Greg Fields reaches across the table and punches him in the face. And they have to call him. All these guys come running in, and they're dragging Greg Fields out. And Greg Fields is yelling, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you. And he starts calling in death threats to the team. Starts calling in death threats to the coach, the defensive coordinator. And they end up hiring Liberace's bodyguard away from Liberace to guard the LA Express coaches. And Fields is showing up at practices, scowling from across the fence.
Oh, man.
The bodyguard who I interviewed said he kept a gun in his trunk, and this guy's, you know, basically putting a tracker on Greg Fields' car, you know, the whole nine yards. And this is only in the USFL does this happen. He's well known now. It's well known throughout the league that this is going on. But the San Antonio Gunslingers need a pass rusher. So they actually sign Greg Fields as a free agent and bring him in. And it actually it gets even crazier. In 1985, the Gunslingers stopped paying their players. They run out of money. And one day, Greg Fields decides he's going to follow the owner of the team home. And the owner's name is Clint Mangus. And Greg Fields is about 6'6", 280. And he follows the owner home with a baseball bat in his car. And he gets to the owner's house. And the owner sees Greg Fields. And Greg Fields gets out. And he says, I see where you live. I know you have money. You better pay me. And the owner says, wait right here. Wait right here. He runs into his house.
Get a check.
Comes back out with $17,000. Comes back out with $17,000 in cash.
Yeah, nice.
Gives it to him. And Greg Fields drives off. Yeah.
Smart move. Smart move. Hey, last thing. So, I mean, we know the USFL didn't survive, but the AAF is coming into play here. The WWE might have a league. Are we in an era, Jeff, where you think that it's more realistic for a professional league to survive now, not going head-to-head against the NFL, but as an alternative?
I don't think so. I mean, I think you can't do what the USFL did, which was try to spend with the NFL. Mm-hmm. It's kind of impossible. I just think there's an oversaturation of football right now. You know, like when I was growing up, it was Monday night and it was Sunday and that was it. And now it's every day, fantasy, NFL Network, blah, blah, blah. I just think it's a really hard time to break into a market that is so saturated with a sport. And I think there's a real fatigue over football. So I don't know. I think it's an uphill battle. I really do.
Your book, I assume, is it available in stores right now?
Yeah, it's everywhere.
Okay. And online as well. It is called Football for a Buck, The Crazy Rise and Crazier Demise of the USFL. And Jeff Perlman is the author. It is available now. And you'll read about Jim Kelly, among other things, and the president of the United States, who then was, of course, owner of the, I believe, New Jersey Generals. Jeff, thanks for coming on. Appreciate you waking up early for us out west, and good luck with the sales on the book.
All right. Thank you.
You bet.